Ladies and gentlemen, I have a special guest in the studio on this Memorial Day. Frank E. Wiggins has just got a book out pretty recently, right? Not too long ago. Last year?
October.
Uh-huh. Well, congratulations, first of all. Okay. I think it's an amazing feat getting a book out, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, it was very hard.
Now, he is retired military. He's got PTSD and wrote a book about his experience overseas.
Cold War.
On some Cold War covert missions. The book is called Seven Steps to Hell and Back, and also in the studio with us today is his, would you call it a ghost writer? Is that what they call it when you're not the person that actually is doing the memoir?
Yes.
You're going to have to lean in on that microphone.
Yes, I believe it is.
Okay, that is Etta Cavalier. I get that right?
You got it right.
Okay, now, if you have anything to add, you just chime in, okay? Just don't bonk heads, because that could get painful. We got aspirin around here somewhere. Anyhow, thank you for coming in today. I think I set it up a little bit, but is there any opening remarks you'd like to tell folks about the book itself? Seven Steps to Hell and Back.
I dedicated the book to all veterans, so maybe it can help them with this with their PTSD. And I dedicated it to women and men, all veterans. And I want to thank them all for doing their service. And I hope my book helps the veterans that are coming back with PTSD. And maybe they can get well and be able to talk about it. That's the hardest thing, is to talk about it. And if you can get your stories out and tell your friends, and they'll know what's really wrong with you, it's not a shameful thing. You earned it. You're a hero. And heroes are not afraid to tell what happened to them.
Right on. Now, I got an uncle. He come back from Vietnam with what they call PTSD. And he tells me that during World War II, they called it shell shock, but yeah, it was the same thing.
Yes.
And then even further back, I think there was even something else they called it.
If I'm not mistaken, it was, they were referring it to women that were getting beat up. And that was PTSD too, but they didn't call it that. They just had a name that, something that, like wife beating, and they were having a breakdown from it, and they were afraid just to think that the husband was coming back, or mm-hmm. he got out of jail, and they would have a traumatic day.
Now, there are times, if you're afflicted with what they call post-traumatic stress disorder, where you just kind of, I guess you have a blackout. Is that
how? I had a time out for 8 hours. I had a flashback that wouldn't go away. I had it complete. It was started at 2 a.m. It was over about 8:00. I didn't take off driving until after that. I used to repair tires here in Santa Fe. I was Coyote Tire Service. I helped a lot of people in this town. And when I found somebody stranded, I helped them. I didn't charge them. They were stranded, and that's what we got to do, is help each other. Anyways, I had, after that first flashback, I had flashbacks from 1 to 2 hours a day, and I went to the VA. I took my DD-214, and they told me I made it myself. Then they said I was not in the Army, and so finally they came back and they said, yes, you were in the Army, but you weren't in Germany. And I go, my APO number on that DD-214 is 177, and that's Germany. And then they came back months later and told me that I was in Germany, but I wasn't in combat. And I told them, of course, they're not going to write it down. Those were covert missions. They don't go around telling everybody. I couldn't even tell my friends there. I lost all my friends, because every time I left for one of the missions, they thought I was out going to Nuremberg or somewhere else having
fun. Going out to party.
Yeah, partying all the time uh-huh. or something.
So eventually they got it figured out and said, okay, it's obvious you got PTSD. Now, what do they do for that? Or is there anything they can really do? I mean, is there therapy? Is there medication? Well, what do they do?
They kept me there when I first went. there was this doctor that was there. Her name was Doreen Cerciano. She put me in Ward 7.
That's at the VA?
Yeah, at the VA. Uh-huh. And they kept me at Ward 7 for like almost 2 months. And 1 month, they kept me in Ward 5. And then by that time, they had already come back and told me that I had been in Germany, but not in combat. And I told them that I needed more help. I was really sick. I didn't know what PTSD was. I just know I was sick. So then they kept me there for the 3 months, and they enrolled me in a program called post-traumatic stress disorder. And I was in that program for 9 months. And the 10th month, we joined like another group that was going to come in. We had to help them come in. And then they just kept me coming month after month. To this day, it's 17 years later. I'm still going there from 1 to 5 times a month for treatment. But they are helping me at the VA, but I never got a pension from them. They said that because I didn't have no combat patches. And they're not going to give you no combat patches. What's this?
That's a patch on the cover of the book right there.
That's a 7th Army patch. Everybody has one, but not a combat patch. Boy. I don't even know what one looks like, more or less, if they gave me one. And they confiscated.
I know you said at some point in the book that apparently you were Special Forces and didn't even know it.
I joined in 1958. I was the first new Army Green Special Forces that came out. My training was in Fort Sill, Oklahoma, and it was intense. And I learned a lot about also artillery, motors, 105s. And I learned how to run gas stations so they could show me how to blow them up. I learned landmines. I learned artillery and where they kept the ammo so that I could learn how to blow them up.
You learned a lot. Yes. Now, the stories that you tell, they're real vivid. I felt like I was pretty much there along with you, and seemed like he was a smart kid, athletic, but also a prankster.
Oh yes.
And I'm wondering how that all affected you in your time in the service there.
When I did it all through the service. I put tricks on people. It's in my book. Some of the good ones that are in there, and you're gonna love the things that happened. And, I mean, if you read my book, you'll be the same way.
Were you that way in school too?
I had a photographic memory, and my mom taught me how to use it. And after that 7th mission for me, I had photographic memory. Now I have a CRS.
Right? You can't say what that stands for on air, but I think everybody knows.
Yeah. I have CRS now. I can't remember nothing. But I do remember those things that I wrote in my book because they don't go away. I would love to get rid of them, but there ain't no way they're going to go away.
Well, it seems as though you spent, 35 years trying to, drink it away and smoke away. And
yes, I did everything.
Like you say, just don't go away. And that's... Yeah. Part of the PTSD.
If you wonder why I never got caught for drinking and driving and drugging and driving, is I lived in Los Angeles with my mom and dad when I first got out, and I hated myself. I wanted to kill myself, just like the veterans that come home. I wanted to kill myself, but I couldn't kill myself, so I was looking for somebody to kill me. I heard about the gangs.
Yeah, yep. That was the second half of the book.
Yeah.
After the military experiences, yes. you decided to go out and whoop ass on some of the gang members there in L.A.
Well, I was looking to die. I knew I was looking for all the bad guys. And there's a lot of people in Santa Fe that know me because I worked for the housing also. And I ended up in the projects myself because I had a dump truck. I was running asphalt, dirt, concrete, everything all over the town here. I had a good job, and I was parked across the street from the projects, and it was all painted in silver paint, graffiti, and it said, enter at your own risk. There was trash all over, and I said, damn, they should send somebody to clean that place up, and I guess God sent me.
There you go.
He sent me in.
You had the skills.
I had the skills, yeah.
It seems as though you were deployed after only about a year of training. Did I get that right? That was what I took from reading the chapters in order.
I was training without realizing I was training all the time, even when I got to Germany. They taught me the 105s. They taught me everybody's job on them. They taught me to go out and call in the missions for the artillery. And once I learned all that, I said, I wonder what they're going to do with me now. And then,
did you believe you were well-trained when you finally got into the field?
Well, I liked
ready
it.
For it?
I knew I was trained because I'd go to the bars and I'd end up in a fight or something always rumble came up. I came out on top. And let me tell you, when I was in Fort Dix, New Jersey, I wanted to go to New York so I could go see the black guys playing at the nightclubs in Harlem. And I went. Nobody ever told me it was dangerous to walk through there. And I'd walk through those streets to go to those nightclubs. And so I just
who'd you get
people,
to see? Anybody, do you remember the name?
Well, there were so many of them that I seen.
Did you get
a lot
to see Cab Calloway?
I saw
a special on him on PBS the other day. That's the only reason.
I can't remember really them, but the ones I do remember a lot going that Fats Domino came.
Oh, yeah.
I knew Little Richard and I knew Chuck Berry. Hell, I was the one bringing them their weed.
Now, now there was part of your training that you said in here it was dancing training. You had to dance all night.
Yeah.
If you could dance all night, you could fight all day.
That's right.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, they took us dancing every Friday or Saturday.
Did you just have to dance with alone?
Alone?
If there was no ladies there?
You dance alone, but you got to dance every song that sergeant's looking at you.
But you didn't have to dance with the sergeant?
No. He used to say, that sergeant used to tell me, I'm like your dad. I'm not your mom. I'm not your sister. I'm not your brother or nobody. I'm like your dirty uncle, too. And you got to do what I tell you, and you're going to dance.
Can you still dance all night?
I can do pretty good.
Yeah? What does Lenora think about that? She like dancing?
Oh, yeah. She loves dancing.
She seems like a sweet gal.
Yeah.
Can you... Now, you're in your 70s now, is that right?
Yeah, I'm going to be 73 in October.
Can you still do those cartwheels?
No. I think I can, but I know. I could still run.
There was a chapter in the book where he described these cartwheels he had to do, and not just any cartwheels, but no-handed cartwheels. And in the air... He'd put up different cards, and you'd have to switch legs and whack the card.
Yeah, he put a red
one. Had a red card and green card.
A red card and a green card.
How long did you spend doing them cartwheels?
Every day there for about 2 months.
Holy smoke. Obviously, you had some unusual training, I would say. I don't think they normally send the armed forces through dancing and cartwheels and quarters training.
I asked my friend Andy Cavalier if they trained them like that now. And he said, no, everybody's specialist in their field.
Mm-hmm.
And they do train some, like the Navy trains their SEALs, and the Army does have some special forces, and so does the Marines. But not everybody gets that training. Not a lot of people do. They become specialists, and you got to be good at it. And
now, folks at home, I'm not gonna give out too many details about some of these missions that Frank went on. But do you think you're going to get in any kind of trouble for revealing all this information?
I was already in trouble. I'm going to die any day. I don't know, man. You know, what more trouble can I get?
Now, the only reason I'm not going to go into too much detail is because the details, especially of the last mission overseas for Frank, was... grizzly, to say the least. So I'm just gonna let you go out there and read the book. We're talking about Seven Steps to Hell and Back. It's a book by Frank E. Wiggins, if you're just tuning in. Is there a website where folks can get the book, maybe?
Yes, there is.
Well, we should tell them what it is.
Okay.
SevenStepsToHell.com/angelfire.
Right. /angelfire.
All right. Now, this book just come out. They may or may not make a movie of it someday. It would be a good movie, I think. Maybe it might be two good movies.
They wanted to make a movie first. His name is Dan Ostroff. He's a producer.
Uh-huh.
He's in California right now. He uh-huh. was here in Santa Fe. And what it was, that I was trying to write a story when I worked at the housing. And people were helping me write it. And I went to give him that. But I also put in the papers that I had to turn in to the VA of why I wanted to see if I could get compensation and what for and how did I get PTSD. And I didn't know what PTSD was, but I wrote it down and I gave it to them. But I also gave it to Dan Ostroff with the other papers, and I was trying to tell him, look, read this too if you get a chance. Wait, he said, I'm reading this story right here. He goes, the script right here, I'm reading it right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's
Edda, it looked like you had something you was going to chime in on.
Well, mostly it was the website Angel Fire and the significance of that. You know, a dollar.
Lean in a little closer there, if you can.
You know, a dollar of the sales of this book goes, when it's ordered from the website, www.angelfire,7steps2hellandback/angelfire, is it's their retreats for veterans and their spouses that are suffering from PTSD, and they're extremely successful. My husband and I, he's a retired Staff Sergeant Marine, disabled, and he suffers from PTSD also. In fact, Frank and Andy were in the same PTSD group in 1995, and that's how they met.
Okay.
And that's how I got involved with writing this book with Frank. But it is their retreats, they're free, and it's to support these free retreats for veterans that are coming back suffering from PTSD.
Thank you very much. And you were saying that this producer, Frank, you were saying he just, he liked it, but he just couldn't go there, or what?
Well, he said, I'll check it, you know, and he went home, and I was just hoping he'd read it, and then 2 o'clock in the morning, my phone rang, and I still had one of those old phones. So I answered it, and it was Dan Ostroff, and he says, I want to make a movie of the one for the Army, what you did in the Army. And I go, which part? He goes, all of it. We'll do that. We don't even have to do the other one. I want that one. And
now, he went out there, folks, and he ended up being a landmine diffuser, an expert at diffusing. They said that you did more missions doing that than anybody they knew.
Yes.
And came back, you know, in one piece.
Yeah. Usually they would send out somebody for 3, at the most 4 missions and let them go home. They know they're going to die or they die. I mean, it's...
Now, it seems like, correct me if I'm wrong, it seems like after that last mission of yours, which was number 7.
Yes.
They probably would have kept you going had you not just said, I ain't going to do it no more.
Well, I call them ghosts. I don't know who they were, because I know they weren't Army. They weren't no Army. I don't know who they were. They were always dressed like in black matching with everything. More business-like.
Like on the X-Files or something.
Yeah, more really intelligent.
Men in black.
Men in black. And anyways, they wanted me to go join them. They were asking their boss to take me in with them, that I was the best they ever saw in clearing those landmines. And the fastest.
But unfortunately, it took its long-term toll on you, yeah, psychologically.
Yeah.
For about 35 years, Frank Wiggins suffered from what he later found out was PTSD.
Right.
From the last mission, before really knowing what was going wrong, and then the VA helped you out.
The VA,
VA in Albuquerque, right?
Yes. I'm still going there after 17 years. I'm still go there. I got an appointment next Thursday, the 31st. I mean, I already had two appointments, and I had one more to go to, and I didn't go to it because I went to meet all the motorcycle riders that were coming from California. On the run to the wall.
On the run to the wall, yeah.
And I went over there to see him.
Is that where I first met you? Did you come to the run to the wall? Because I was there last year. Was that last year?
No. I met you at my son where he works. He does cleaning and stuff for the storage.
Oh, okay.
Anyways.
At the wagon storage.
At the wagon storage.
Oh, that's right. And it rained cats and dogs that day.
It rained cats and dogs.
I remember. Now, can you speculate on how your life might have been a little different since, say, 1960? If you had been diagnosed sooner?
I think that, I mean, I started businesses. I started a plating shop in California, Bonus Plating, and it was growing fantastic. And this guy that was sick didn't know what PTSD was. I walked away from it and gave it to my brothers, walked away. And I did that in 82, I went back to California and I bought a Kenworth. I restored it in my driveway and I put it to work. I made $11,000 a month with it. That bought me one more truck. Those two bought me one more truck.
$11,000 a month?
Yeah, I was making $30,000 a month with those trucks.
Most of my jobs don't pay $11,000 a year.
Well, I walked away from it.
Because of the PTSD.
Yeah, I didn't know I was sick.
But you didn't know. No. You didn't know what it was.
I just hated it. I knew I could make money no matter where I went. What I did, I knew I could do something. But I was sick.
What is it that you hope to achieve by putting this story out? I know you touched on that a little bit earlier, but...
First, I didn't want nobody to know what I did. But now I want everybody to know what they make us do. And they take us when we're young because we're dumb and we'll go do it. And I want people to really know what our veterans are coming home. They've went through a lot. They're killing themselves. More of them are getting killed by themselves. They're killing themselves. They died over there. So or just as many.
Are you hoping to somehow, like, purge some kind of inner demons? Are you hoping that you can help heal the others?
Get them to go see somebody. In my book, there's places where they can go to get help in my book. I put those down because they're the best places.
And Etta, you were saying that is one of the organizations that is benefited by the sales of the book.
Yeah.
Yes, one of them is the Angel Fire Retreats. Which are...
Is that in Angel Fire?
Yes.
Or is it just happen to be called
Angel Fire? No, it's actually in Angel Fire. Okay. A lot of stuff is by donation to the resort there.
Okay. The book is 7 Steps to Hell and Back. It's a hell of a read. I recommend you check it out. The website again is 7stepstohell.com/angelfire. The Memoirs of Frank E. Wiggins, written by Etta Cavalier. And thank you all for coming in this morning.
Yes, sir.
Got
Thank
anything
you
else
very
you
want much.
To chime in with?
Well, I just want to, the subtitle is Not All Wounds Are Visible. And so it's 7 Steps to Hell and Back, Not All Wounds Are Visible.
All right.
If you help me to buy this book, you're going to help a lot of veterans. And not only are we putting a dollar towards that, but I want to put another dollar aside so I can help the homeless veterans that are still out there. They're homeless. Believe me, they're homeless. They live under the bridges. They live anywhere they can. And they're not being helped because they can't go in and fill the paperwork. They have
so
much.
Well, and a lot of times they can't even help themselves.
No, can't help themselves.
Because they just don't know what's wrong.
No, they don't.
They don't even
know.
They
don't know. They don't know that they're sick. They think that, I don't know what they think. I talked to some of them that I meet at the VA. They finally go over there. And they start to fill out the paperwork, and they're trying to leave. I go somewhere else. I get them by the wrist, and I tell them, look, I'm talking to you like another veteran, your brother. Don't go. I'll help you fill these paperwork. I can't fill them out myself because I'm stupid and dumb, too. I cannot read nor write. I'd find another veteran there. Sometimes I grab hold of Andy's or somebody and set them down there, and together we're helping them there. They'll walk out. There's no place else to go, and I would tell them that. There's no place else to go.
Well, I surely do appreciate the courage it must have taken you to bring all these memories up to the surface long enough to get them down on paper.
Yeah, thanks.
And for lending me a copy of the book. It was a good read.
That thanks to Etta Cavalier. She put my story out because I couldn't remember it all in one perfect section for you to read. But she made it possible. She put everything just the way it happened all the way through. When I read it, I try to read it, and I'm lost. I take a trip. I'm back over there for reals.
Well, I really appreciate you stopping by this morning.
Okay. Thank you very much for having us here.
Etta, looks like you got some final words.
Yes. I really, first of all, it's been an honor for me to be able to work with Frank and interpret and write his story and share it. Another purpose for me to assist him in writing this book, to write this book, is so because he was turned down for his pension many years ago, back in 1995, and he was humiliated by the VA. And he vowed never to go back and reopen his claim. And when we finished the book, we went personally, my husband and I went, and Andy, and we helped him and his wife with all the paperwork and submitted this book as part of the evidence to prove that he was there. He wouldn't be able to make all this up. And so we're waiting right now and in hopes that it will be reviewed and he will finally get his pension.
There's no shortage of red tape going on with the government when you're dealing with them.
Right.
Well, good luck. I hope it all pans out in the end. Frank, I hope you'll keep in touch.
Yes, I will.
I hope you'll come by and say hi to you. And you always do when I'm out and about.
I will. I'll go see you.
All right. Once again, website if you want to check out the book. And part of the proceeds go to that institution they was telling you about, sevensstepstohell.com/angelfire. I'm going to put this up as a podcast at santafe.com so y'all can listen back to it later. If you missed it, came in at the end, what have you. And again, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you for having us.